The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 550. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Brett Murdoch.
What up, everybody?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everyone?
All right, we're back with another one, and it seems like tonight will be just the four of us, you know? Carlos said he specifically couldn't be on tonight, some work stuff. Chris is on vacation. I believe Brian is still in Poland, and Adam's probably at the... Actually, if things go the way they have been, Adam will probably show up in about an hour, you know, after he finishes with the TV terminal.
After he reaches the end of the TV terminal.
Yes. Yo, Manny, what you got in your hands?
Oh, yeah. It's just Ken from Street Fighter Alpha.
Nice.
It's actually collectible. They actually make really, really great figures, but they started making figures down in the size of a 6-inch figure. So this guy actually will sit comfortably against, you know, if you have any sort of like Marvel Legends figures like Spider-Man, they look kind of cool together. So you can even though they don't put them out the same thing. So you have Hasbro's Marvel Legends. You have Figuarts' Tamashii Nations, Gamerverse versions of Cyclops, those characters. You can actually stick them all together and they'll look, you know, pretty damn cool.
Nice. So, yeah, I believe the Geese I have is from Storm Collectibles, but he's big.
Yes.
He's big.
Massive. So these guys are like normal size. So to show you, like to give you an example of a normal Storm Collectibles figures, that's a normal Storm Collectibles.
That's the size I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're a lot bigger, but these guys will actually fit down next. They can sit next to like any of your Marvel Legends figures and you can pretty much create your X-Men Street Fighter. So they're Storm Collectibles and also Jada Toys are also all doing, you know, Street Fighter Alpha. So if you're, nice. You know, they've done a lot of reveals this weekend at last weekend at New York Comic Con. In fact, I have an alternate version of Ken in his yellow outfit.
Yo, man, you crazy.
So, I mean, I bought this first and then this other one came in. So I'm like, okay, now I have two Kens. But anyway, they also come with different heads too. So if you get a special version of Ken that's in a different alternate palette, like there's one that's the bluish purple version of Ken, they actually have one alternate head that's different. So the red Ken, the one in the red gi comes with a very Ken like smirk and yeah. Then, you know, kind of a neutral face. And then the other one comes with the neutral face, but it also comes with like the Shoryuken, like, or throwing a Hadouken face, like with his mouth open. So.
Shoryuken!
Shoryuken! Tatsumaka Tsumaka!
Every time I see that version of Ken, like I think of the movie where he like gives a noogie to Ryu. It's like,
if Storm Collectibles was like really wanted to do some deep cuts, you do Ryu like without his headband on, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of like you know, that without his headband, and then another one with the blood down, and then you have Ken, you know, with his, you know, where he's gonna give the headband to him.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. So let's get started. We've got some questions. Not a lot, but you know, that's not gonna stop us from keeping things going, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna need in full class participation this episode. Basically, no one's gonna be quiet. All right, first question here from one of our newest commenters and one of the greatest names I've seen for a commenter, George W. Cush. Fantastic name.
Nice.
Yeah. So this first question is a little long, but listen, my thing is like, I don't mind long questions as long as like you're not repeating yourself if you lead to something, and you did lead to something. Mm-hmm. So we'll go for it. I know it's all subjective, but I want to know your opinion from based on your experiences, you guys are a couple of years older than I am. Has the gaming industry ever been as volatile as it is now? I feel like big changes are coming. All the big boys are disappointing their fans in one way or another. Sony is making only one AAA exclusive single player game per year and delivering underperforming sales. Nintendo is becoming greedier than ever. EA is selling to the Saudis. Ubisoft is failing as usual. And Xbox is about to go extinct. Meanwhile, almost all Game of the Year contenders from this year come from smaller companies such as Silksong, KDC2, Split Fiction, and X-Fiction 33, among others. Do you think a major shift will come and this unsustainable bubble is about to burst? I've never seen that. Like, the gaming industry has generally been pretty stable, but this generation's been a whole other thing, you know?
It's a weird sort of thing, because a lot of what's happening now reminds me of Hollywood.
Yeah.
In fact, it reminds me exactly of Hollywood. What is the problem with Hollywood that they always end up needing to relearn? So they go out, they make these big old blockbusters, they make 1,000 sequels, and then a bunch of people just start getting sick of it, right? And then a smaller movie, you know, squeezes in and manages to, you know, to make a bunch of money and doesn't have an insane amount of budget. And, you know, like the Conjuring series or the original John Wick films, right? Those films literally had lower budgets, but they managed to make all these different money. And it was just a cool idea to try to, you know, a cool thing to go with. So I think that's what's happening now. It's essentially those games like Exposition 33 is essentially teaching the game industry how to do games again. Or in other words, you can, yes. And this is something that a lot of those studios that Sony, like PlayStation used to do. Those cornerstone games like the Ratchets and Clanks and the Jack games, those weren't huge investments even for back then. Even though they were considered like AAA games, right? Those things didn't have a lot of investment, but they earned their way up to those big things. And I think that's what the problem is. I always felt like even when the way they started, I don't think like Horizon Zero Dawn, I think, was the beginning of those, like, okay, we're going to bet off like crazy on this thing, you know, to try to capture this. So I think we're going to see a shift. And, you know, again, like from my people that still work in the game industry, that's the sort of thing that they've been seeing behind the scenes, where a lot of these companies are realizing, oh shit, we're kind of blowing a little bit too much on stuff. Maybe we need to, you know, make a light investment, see where this thing goes, and then, you know, figure out what we're going to do with these things again. And yeah, I think that's what's happening.
That's one aspect for sure. The other one, and we've been talking about this all generation, is that, you know, companies thought that the big times or the good times that came with COVID were going to last forever. So they started investing crazy amounts of money, not only in like games, but like personnel and advertising and all this other stuff. Then when the bubble eventually burst, we saw what happened last year and the beginning of this year. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been laid off.
Going all the way back to the big firings that happened in, you know, the big let goes that happened in 2023, you know, places like Xbox, you know, investing in these in a bunch of companies, you know, like attempting to try to, like, oh yeah, we're gonna continue to have money, we're gonna continue to do this stuff, and then all of a sudden realizing, oh wait, once everybody was able to go back to their normal lives, not be a captive audience, that all of this stuff is not going to work. They should have never done that.
You know, like, go ahead.
Granted, like, you know, we said this before, Nintendo actually didn't change any of that stuff. They just sort of said, okay, we're not changing our projections, we're doing the same thing. But I, to be honest, with Nintendo, I don't see them changing anything. Like, in other words, I think they've always been on the same shit that they've always been on, selling you, you know, weak hardware. It's because they know that their install base just eats it up, you know? Even now, like, when you look at the sales of that last Switch, it did pretty damn fucking good. The Switch 2, even though it's like a minor upgrade over the previous one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a problem. I was going to make a point, I forgot it. Brett, what are your thoughts on the state of gaming right now?
I think we're headed for a full-on collapse. I think it's kind of inevitable. I think it's the end result of having a system where, you know, you always need more and you always need more and you always need more again. Like, and I've talked about this, a big belief of mine. Like, if you know, more of this stuff were structured around like dividends, I think we'd see an entirely different landscape in gaming. But because, you know, it's just traditional stocks, that means it always has to have upward momentum. And so everything has to be bigger or more expensive. They have to give you less. They have to charge you more. And I think that there's going to reach, you know, we're inevitably going to reach a breaking point with that. And I think we're pretty much there. I think Nintendo charging $80 for their games, like Nintendo really kind of brought a lot of that bubbling up to the surface. If GTA comes out and it hits $100, that's going to cause a shitstorm that'll most likely set things off. But really, my point is, like, you can only keep giving less and charging more and adding everything as microtransactions for so long now. The base games that we get are so shrunk down, and every cosmetic and every reward is now some fucking microtransaction, and everybody wants to be Fortnite and always online and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, it cannot work like that. You cannot always do better than you did before. That's just, it's literally impossible. So to be basing your decisions and, like, to have the captain who's steering the ship be doing it under that pretense, to me, is almost a little horrifying, right? Because it's just, it's a willful lack of foresight. You gotta worry about next quarter, gotta worry about next year, gotta worry about next 6 months. I don't have to worry about 5 years from now because I don't know if I'm gonna be CEO. We're not gonna have the same shareholders. Everybody's gonna bought or sold it. You know, it just seems like piloting the Titanic and then putting on a blindfold. And then you're like, oh, not a shock Pikachu face when you fucking hit an iceberg. Like, oh my God, who could have foreseen this? Literally anybody looking at the long term could have seen this. But you're going to keep pushing it because the stockholders or the shareholders demand it, and you're going to push it until it breaks and then jump out with your golden parachute because nobody in the driver's seat gives a shit. Right? Nobody up there cares about video games. Nobody up there cares about a healthy gaming ecosystem. Nobody up there cares about fucking gamers. In fact, most of the time, they hold us in contempt. Right? So, like, what's going to matter to them if they push it to the limits and then jump out with their golden parachute? They don't give a shit.
No, you're 100% right. Go ahead.
Thankfully, indie games like Expedition 33 are really stepping up and, like, showing that they can take the place of, you know, what we used to consider, you know, high budget, big budget games. So, like, talent now has the tools to really, really kind of shine. And I think that when we see the collapse of the major gaming industry, we're going to see the rise of kind of AA games that are AAA quality. And I think we've already started to see that. So that's why I'm like, I think we're already kind of in the stages where the cracks are starting to form. We just haven't seen the full collapse yet.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to get this up because I just remember what I want to say. Yeah, this is the worst time that we've, like, experienced gaming in our lifetime. But yes, there was a gaming crash, an actual one in 1983. But none of us Manny and I were alive. We were 3 years old. So, you know, that doesn't really count. But what's happening now is it's different. And I've said this for years now, and people have been calling crazy, not calling me crazy anymore when I say this. I'm like, we are in a fucking crash. It's been very slow, but all the signs are around you. It's happening in slow motion. And I'm with you, Brent. I really do think if GTA 6 comes out, costs $100, and it's not as good as the last bunch of games, and people don't buy it as much, yeah, that crash is happening right there. That'll be the demarcation point, you know? Get ready, yeah, you know.
I don't think it's going to crash. I think it's more going to be like a reset, full on reset. Because again, like a lot of the studios right now are not. They're a little too afraid to invest in. They're really scared about. They want to do really small things and really. I think once that if that thing happened, that like legitimately shows them. That says, okay, maybe we shouldn't be blowing all this cash on these things. Maybe they'll finally do what they should be doing, is taking those crazy ass budgets and splitting them between like three titles as opposed to one, you know? And this is the same.
I think that's exactly what will happen.
This is the same thing that even former head of PlayStation was saying. We really need to pull back on all of this and start putting out smaller experiences that don't cost as nearly as much. And that's what they used to do back in the day. Again, like we saw all those games because those games didn't take huge investment, to create those things. Like, and I definitely agree with what Brett was saying. It's like, now we're back at the point where a smaller team can put together something that feels like it's the thing, because, all those old RPGs, like if you look at with the amount of hours that are in a game, like let's say just even Final Fantasy VII, right? With the amount of hours that was put in that original game, right? Nothing close to what the team that they have that works on this current titles. Though, so, and or even the Persona games, they don't even have that spend those insane amounts of. They're relatively medium. They're not low budget games, but they're mid level budgeted games.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Rich, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, I think you guys have summed it up perfectly. Like Manny said, I think his scenario is how things will probably play out. We'll have to wait and see. But I will add that, with all of the layoffs, the studio closures, this certainly has been the most, I would say, hostile time that I have experienced the industry. Like you guys said, I was too young to know about any of the stuff that happened in the past to actually feel and understand it. But seeing all of this stuff happen now in the industry, this is not a good time. Although I will say one thing about that question. I know the individual mentioned Nintendo is in rough shape in PlayStation. I don't know about the Nintendo comment, because we said on this show when they said Mario Kart is going to be $80, we said, oh, hell no. Who was going to pay that kind of money? Who was going to pay that kind of money, and who was going to buy the new console? And then we were proven wrong, because a lot of people went out and bought that console in that game. So I think Nintendo, like you guys said, they know that their fan base will buy whatever they put out. But I don't feel as though they are paying for this yet.
In the question, he did specifically say that Nintendo's just getting greedier than ever. He didn't mention that they were in a bad state.
Okay, yeah.
So, and he's right about that, And like you said, they are so far getting away with it. The Switch is selling very well. Mario Kart, $80 is selling very well.
They are, but here's the thing. Where's their reputation? Because, sales always trail reputation, right? Yeah. If you make a bad game, that game is going to sell well. The next game is going to sell poorly. So, it's where is your reputation? And everywhere I'm looking, Nintendo's reputation is being dragged through the mud of everything is ridiculously expensive. It is outdated. It is not worth it. It is basically just a slightly upgraded Switch, but it's just underwhelming in most every way. It can't play most third-party titles. I'm hearing some outrage about Pokemon or something, I think. Did a new Pokemon game just come out?
I don't keep up with Pokemon, so I have no idea. But the thing is, Brett, all those things you said, or all those complaints you said about Switch 2 were lobbied at Switch 1, and that's the second most popular gaming handheld, gaming console of all time.
But now I'm seeing videos, and maybe it's just my algorithm, but I'm seeing a lot of videos popping up about how Nintendo's greedy and how Nintendo's selling out. And Nintendo is, between that and the Power World lawsuit, they're not doing good. They look greedy and manipulative and dominant, and it's just not a great look. So I don't know if I'm the only one who's been picking up that vibe, but the general attitude towards Nintendo has definitely seemed to have shifted a little bit more hostile. Definitely not there. We're kind of at the beginning of this. And I think a big part of this is going to be too, and keep in mind when I say, we're at the beginning of this, as this gets worse, when you're a developer or a team of developers, you and your friends, when time comes around and you start hearing about layoffs, I mean, it's just going to get more and more appealing to break off into your own small studio to do your own thing, right? It's almost going to be financially safer, because at least somebody's not just going to come in and just fucking kick you out one day, or you take your severance pay and you work on a game for 6 months or something like that. I think you're going to see a lot more people leaving and kind of being more independent or doing contract work or forming small studios, right? Like these big studios, like they're just, if they're just going to hire you and fire you like that, then I mean, obviously if you can not do contracts, then you get severance. But like, if I were in the game making world, I would really be considering a backup plan of a game I want to make, the kind of people I would want to make a game with. And then, you know, if enough of us get fired, fuck it, we'll pull the trigger. Who's putting some money in? You know, it's when your day job is not stable at all, what's wrong with trying to do a Hail Mary, especially when, you know, games like Schedule 1 randomly hit the top of the Steam list and make people into, you know, overnight millionaires. You know, it's the call of indie game development is going to get stronger as this proceeds to happen.
Yeah. But no, yeah, this is obviously the most volatile period we've seen in our lifetime, and I don't think it's going to get any better. You know, like gaming is not going to go away. Obviously, it's just going to have to just scale down. And I'll be interested to see how the shareholders take that. You know, because it's like, yeah, the money's not going to be the same way it was before. You know, so it may be that some of these companies start losing their funding, so they're going to have to prepare for that as well. You know. Scary times are ahead, man. Scary times are ahead. All right, moving on to another question for Mr. George W. Cush. Slightly related to the last one, but this one's specifically about Nintendo. So the question is, when Nintendo had failures in the past, did it ever feel that it would be the end for the company? I was too young to notice, but in my head, Nintendo 64 to Wii U were all great successes. Okay, so this is why I like doing this podcast, just to give people a history and perspective. Generally, Nintendo has never been at a point where you think the company's done. The closest, although I wouldn't say completely done, was probably the Wii U era. That's probably the low light of Nintendo, you know, for sure. Because, you know what I'm saying, Brett? It's like people didn't know what the fuck the console was.
Like, let's be honest. Like if the console after the Wii U was garbage, Nintendo was cooked.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They had to nail it with the Switch, and they did. But when you're like, oh no, yeah, it's failing. Look at Microsoft, right? Like failing a console can go so fast and so easy, and you only get one chance at it, right? And the Wii U was fucking not it.
Yeah, that no, shit it was
not
bad.
It at all.
I mean, Brett, remember people didn't know, like, wait, what's the console? Is the controller the console? Like mm-hmm. even tech mm-hmm. people were like, what is it? You know?
Yeah. But before the Switch came out, like people were taking bets like, oh, is this going to kill Nintendo or not? Like it was a like legitimate question. Like,
I was there, yeah. You know?
Like, yeah. Like we were actually asking this question. It wasn't just kind of, you know, gross hyperbole. Like we were genuinely being honest. I'm like, I don't know if they're the same way I am with Microsoft right now. Like, I don't know if Xbox is going to limp along for another generation at this point. Fuck.
Yeah, no, the Wii U was definitely Nintendo's darkest hour. Like, even the GameCube, even though it didn't sell that well, we didn't get that feeling. You knew, okay, Nintendo maybe had a little bit of a misstep. They'll get it right with the next console. Boy, did they get it right with the next console, with the Wii. You know, that was a huge success. But the Wii U was such a fucking, and this is why I believe the Switch 2, Nintendo was like, we're playing shit safe. That worked, we're doing it again, you know? Because they're like, we're not taking any fucking chances this time. I'm pretty sure Nintendo's very aware of what happened with the Wii U. They're like, nope, we're not doing that. I know some people complain that Nintendo didn't take any chances with the Switch 2, but I think that's smart, even if it is more or less the same, just with a different chip, you know? But yeah, the Wii U was definitely it for sure, you know? All right, anybody else want to jump in on that? All right. Okay, so we'll move on to the next one. Next couple questions from Mr. One Subset. He goes, the next Virtua Fighter is releasing soon. It could light the FGC on fire, and I hope it will be a big hit for Sega. Hypothetically, if you were in charge of greenlighting another fighting game from the Sega Saturn era, which would it be? Fighting Vipers, bring it back.
Oh, fighting game?
Yeah, fighting game. From Sega.
I would go with. You know what? I would say Fighting Vipers. I would also say
Last Bronx.
It, the Eternal Champions.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Why not?
They legitimately have their own Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know he said the Sega Saturn, but we're just going to go Sega, period, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. Sega Saturn, like, here's the thing, like, there's, they're only, like, was it, how many of those AM2s were there? It was, like, three, right? Virtua Fighters,
Fighting Vipers.
Fighting Vipers and Last Bronx, and
No, they had the Sonic fighting game as well, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, very limited, so let's expand it. Yeah, Eternal Champions would be awesome, you know, if you could bring that back.
Yeah, I would say like because I would also say last Bronx would be interesting, but that feels like also it feels like an extension of Fighting Vipers.
Yeah,
right. Where you know you're throwing people through cages. I feel like what is something that they could bring back that feels like a totally because you know Virtua Fighter has the ring outs. It has the you know the arena. And Fighting Vipers is like if you took that and you turned that to 11, right? Okay, now they bust people through walls to get ring out. What feels different than that? I would say like okay, yeah, something like an Eternal Champions, which feels like a more of a classic fighting game.
Yeah,
you know that has that sort of edge to it, like a Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah, because that game did have fatalities, you know.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
They were way harder to do than those Ed Boon and Tobias ones.
They were. Like I couldn't pull off a lot of those fatalities. The timing
they were environment.
The
timing was crazy for them, and then they were also some of them were environmental. You had to literally be sitting in one in this specific pixel in this one location in order for a fucking dinosaur to eat your character.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. I don't know if Sega would do it, but you know the question is hypothetical. I think I may switch my answer to Eternal Champions because I was thinking just Sega Saturn games or that era, you know. What about the rest of you guys? What fighting game should Sega bring back? I feel like there's a one we're missing here, but keep going because I'm going to look through. Go ahead, Rich.
I agree 100% with Eternal Champions. I did hear a rumor that Tony also wants them to bring back Primal Rage.
That's not a Sega game, but that'd be cool. You know?
Who even owns that nowadays?
I have no idea who owns that.
Is that owned by like Warner Brothers as well? I don't know.
I have no idea. But I wouldn't mind that, Rich. Like Claymation, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's look this up.
I definitely remember Eternal. I do remember Eternal Champions. Like Manny said, it was very hard to do the finishing moves. And I was very frustrated when I was playing that game trying to do finish. So that's why I remember it.
Yeah. And if you get enough of these Sega fighting games back, then you could bring back Fighters Mega Mix, you know? Oh, yeah. Put the car in there from Daytona, you know? Remember that? That was fun. But yeah, I think we did actually name all the Sega fighting games. Virtua Fighter, Eternal Champions, Fighting Vipers, Sonic the Fighters, Last Bronx, and Fighters Mega Mix. Not a fighting game, beat 'em up Dynamite Cop. Oh, shit. That'd be fun. All right. What's up?
I thought I heard a quick question.
What's up?
I don't know if this is Sega. What are your thoughts on Soul Calibur? Is that series completely over with?
Yeah, that's Bandai Namco. They screwed the pooch on that one big time. Because, you know, kind of...
That last one was so... made so many people mad.
Here's the thing. That one wasn't the one that made people mad. It was the one before it. And the stink of 5 got on 6. That's what happened. You know, we talked about you're only as good as your last game. Because with Soul Calibur 5, they like pretty much like changed the entire cast. You know, it's like their descendants, but nobody wanted to play as them. So they kind of went back to basics with 6, but it had the stink of 5 on it. So, you know.
I feel a little bit of that happened on Metal Gear Solid 3, right? Metal Gear Solid 2 was so... aggravated fans so badly because of the change in protagonist that it Metal Gear Solid 3 didn't, which was legitimately a really great game, didn't get the numbers that it should have.
Yeah. Thankfully, the remake is doing very well, you know? And right. Obviously, Metal Gear 3 has done better over the years and stuff, but you're right. The stink of 2 was on it for a while, you know? It happens, you know, kind of related too. There's also why Guardians of the Galaxy didn't do well. The stink of Avengers was on it, you know? Even though it's a completely different game by a different studio, you know?
Yep.
It's crazy, man.
They see that Square logo.
Yeah.
Or that Crystal Dynamics logo.
Yeah. All right. Next one for Mr. One Subset. The ROG, the Xbox ROG Ally cannot currently play every Xbox game. Will this hurt the handheld in the long run? Among Xbox users, and Will Adam, you know, he's really upset. That's his main thing. He's like, this thing's supposed to be an Xbox, but it doesn't play old Xbox games. Like, you can't play stuff like Gears of War 2 or 3 on it, you know, because they're only relegated to the console. You could only play PC games, Xbox PC games on this thing. So I don't think it's going to hurt it among, like, guys like Adam, but, like, guys who are PC gamers, they won't care. You know, it won't really bother them too much. But it is kind of, and I think that's one of the main sticking points where people are like complaining. It's like, wait, Xbox, you're saying this is an Xbox, but it clearly isn't, you know? And even though it has Asus ROG in front of it, people seem to think it's legitimate. Like, we have a question from Deal coming up. I'm like, I don't know if you fully understand what this thing is. It's not a PS Vita or something like that. It's a gaming PC in your, you know, handheld version, you know? I did hear a rumor, and this is just a rumor, so take it how you will, that Xbox apparently is trying to find, like, backward compatibility for its, you know, older Xbox games for this thing, but that would also benefit PC, you know? I'm pretty sure if this rumor is true, I'm pretty sure they've been working on this even before the Xbox Ally was in production, because that's been a sticking point for playing Xbox games on your PC. You do not have access to all of your games. So if they ever do that, that'd be cool. And you can't say they won't, because they've done it before, you know? In typical Microsoft fashion, they said they weren't able to do backward compatibility, then it came out with it. You know, they'll tell you one thing and then do another. But they haven't said they can't do it for the PC. They just said, you know, not at this time or some shit like that. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, no, it is definitely a caveat. Like, when I did my video review for this thing, I had to make it clear. Hey, guys, you cannot play table tennis, you know, Adam's favorite game on this thing, for example, you know. So keep that in mind. But what do you guys think? Do you think this is, like, you know, this thing's potential? Adam, perfect timing. Absolute perfect timing. And you're muted right now.
Oh, shit. All yeah. right, here we go.
And I'm just going to ask the question again, because this question is really directed for you in a way. Will the fact that the Xbox ROG Ally, that it can't play older Xbox games, hurt it in sales?
It hurt my sale right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
right?
I literally said that. I said it's going to hurt it for Adam, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I saw as the plus. And I was like, no, it can't do. How the hell do I want this? How is this any different? Well, because it has an Xbox icon on. You know what? I can print out some stickers, Xbox stickers, and stick that on my Steam Deck, and voila, guess what it is? You know, it's bullshit. That sucks. And I can't believe, what was it? Somebody sent it to me. It's like, oh, I think IGN gave it like a 9. I'm like, this
is a good system. It's just, what it's advertised at.
But that's the problem. It's a system just like all the other ones, yep. But it's supposed to be an Xbox on the go. Right, that's how they're advertising. Yeah. Take your Xbox, log in, sign in, all your stuff here, there, small print, asterisk, not really all your stuff, can't play your old games, your Xbox 360 games, all the games in your library can't play, not supporting backward compatibility, sorry, my bad, maybe next time, you know, that's what they should have put, because that's what people want, that's what I wanted, I want my table tennis, you know, some of my old games that were just tied to, you can't do, so it's not the full experience, No. So for me, it sucks.
Yeah.
Now, remember, I'm old. All the other oldies that know about all the other stuff probably don't even care. They have no plans of getting this. I have a lot of friends that are on Xbox. Not a single one said they plan on buying this shit. So I don't know who this is for. We always talk about it, right? Who's the Xbox player? Who yeah. are these people? I don't know. For the younger generation, I don't know these people. So who's buying this? Who is buying this?
Well, I don't know, but right. it is selling out, so people.
Well, they
are
only made
it.
50 of them. They only made 50. So of course it's sold out. I believe that too. I want to see hard numbers from the warehouse. How many did you manufacture? How many did you ship? I call BS when they're like, oh, we post it and it went and it sold out. And You made maybe at that. I don't believe it. Well, that artificial scarcity. You make it seem like, oh, everybody wants one. We didn't make that many to begin with. But hey, the ones we did, they're all going to be on eBay at triple the price. Thank you, scalpers, because you bought it. Now these fools are going to want to buy from you, or maybe not. Like what we saw with the PS5. Remember that shit? And then next you know, they're showing rooms full of PS5s that were bought by scalpers that they can't sell. It was fucking nuts.
That's not happening with this thing, at least, you know? But yeah, like that was pretty much the answer I gave before you showed up. I'm like, it's going to hurt sales for guys like Adam. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
That's the thing. We're old. That was the 360 era and all that backward. That was 2006.
Yeah.
You know, that's over a decade almost with all this. More than a decade. What am I talking about? 2000s.
It's going to be 20 years next year. Yeah. Yeah.
20 years. It's two decades almost with that. So that audience, one of two things, only play the games they like. Call of Duty, Gears, Madden, whatever, and that's it. Set in their ways, you know, or the other end of, hey, I never played any of that shit. Because think about it, 20 years ago, these are kids. They weren't playing that shit. They weren't playing it, so they're not missing out. They're like, all right, that's fine. So, yeah, I guess everything that's there, Game Pass, all that stuff, and play it on this. And I like Xbox logo. I like that big X. It makes me happy. And then they're going to get it. But like we said, and I said before, I don't know these people. I don't know them. Who are these people? Clearly, they're not a big group. If they were, then Xbox would be doing gangbusters in sales, which we know isn't the case.
Yeah.
So that's why I call shenanigans this whole, oh, everybody wants this device. It's sold out everywhere. No, you didn't make that many to begin with. Yeah, there's going to be people that buy it right off the bat. I'm sure we'll see a lot of scalping and stuff like that and reviewers, all that. But I don't see the demand. It's not going to be like the Switch when the Switch first came out. Right? There was huge demand for that. We weren't that fond of it. I think there was like one or two. Who was it? I think it was Brett and Carlos were the only two that were like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. We all wrote it off, right? We're like, oh, this is bullshit. No one's going to want it. Well, we were wrong. But I don't think that's going to be the case with this Xbox. It doesn't offer anything new. It doesn't do anything that you can't do on your other ROG. You said it.
You know,
what happened when you booted up? Oh, the interface.
Yeah, you had to do the whole thing. Yeah, no. I will say, The leaner version of Windows actually does make a difference when it comes to battery life and, performance. And it is smooth, but you do still have to go through that initial bullshit Windows. It's like when you get it, if you're setting up a Windows laptop or desktop, it's going to take you an hour, right? But but after that, you're good to go. And I think, you know, because I've noticed that too. The people that reviewed it that are tech reviewers, they all scored it high, like I did. I'm like, I've seen the progression from the original ROG Ally to this. I'm like, this is easily the best Windows handheld, bar none. However, gaming websites, you know, unlike IGN does have a tech reviewer, so they're different. But most gaming websites, Polygon, Kotaku, they're like, this thing sucks. I can't play my old Xbox games, you know? So even though it's marketed and obviously has the branding of Xbox, that's not the target. It shouldn't be the target audience. Yeah. It's really for Windows 11 enthusiasts, right? That's what it's really for.
And all these people either. That's what I'm saying. It's like, if anything, we got a lot of issues. But
Windows 11 handhelds, you know, people, they're selling, you know, and like I said before, after the first Ally, I asked Asus when I saw them at CES, you know, about how well the system was doing. They're like, yo, we were not expecting this shit to be that popular. And think about it. They've released now three consoles or four, if you want to go for different SKUs.
Call PR speak on that. Yeah, what else are they going to say? Yeah. Well, yeah, it's okay. Of course.
Oh, no, this is one of the conversations you have, you know, off screen and shit.
Oh, even off screen. It doesn't matter because they do say everything is shines in rainbows, right? Yeah. Everything is.
Well, this is not always, because Lenovo had a little, I can't say anything, but they had something that they wouldn't want to say, to audiences about the Legion Go 2. But think about it, right? MSI, Asus, Lenovo, they've all released at minimum three versions of their handhelds. People are buying these things.
What is the turnaround time for, right? What have we seen? What, like 6 months? Not even a year for a lot.
For generally they come out every single year. The only exception is MSI. They've released like three or four, fast.
But you see, at generally a year.
Yeah.
This is a very thing to buy into just for 1 year. That seems crazy. What, this is $1,000? right? So yeah. For what?
At
so
most.
You can get it. Are they trying to treat this like a cell phone? You know,
well, remember who makes these. Like what do AMD, Lenovo, and MSI make? They make laptops. They release gaming laptops every single year nonstop. So they're treating these like those products as well. You know,
I can't because then I just it doesn't make any sense. It financially doesn't make sense, especially in the gaming space for these handhelds.
Yeah.
What, you're going to have a stack of them every year just piling up and then look at it and just a reminder. Wow. How much time did I actually spend with that thing that I bought for $1,000? Maybe every
it may be for people who didn't originally buy it, because remember, these things are selling. They release them every year. But Adam, why would they release new ones if they're not selling? They would stop
because they release a certain amount of them. It's not a lot. It's not like we're not seeing them in store shelves at like all the spots. That's different. Like we've seen with the Nintendo or any console, right?
You go into Asus console, the Lenovo, that MSI, they're all at Best Buy.
But I'm saying real markets. Best Buy, that's the Best Buy. That's one channel. So with an Xbox, the PlayStation, you go to Target, you go to Walmart, you go to, you know what I mean? Mom and pop shops, you'll find it. That's mass producing. That's big numbers.
Yeah.
It's with Best Buy and then online. I'm just saying, I don't think they're producing on that type of volume.
No, they're not. But I think you kind of answered your own question. They're selling enough to the target audience. Why are they selling it at Best Buy, right? Because they know Best Buy people will buy it, you know? And as a matter of fact, there's some insider stuff.
From Best Buy to buy.
Yeah, no, from like when we do like a post about like, hey, this thing's on sale, people will actually, if it's electronic, they'll choose Best Buy over Amazon. And Amazon's way bigger than Best Buy, but they prefer Best Buy because they have a more tech-focused consumer base.
The other cool thing with Best Buy when it comes to any of this stuff, you can pick up at store.
Yeah.
So if you find it and it is on sale and it's comparable with an Amazon and you don't have Prime or same day in delivery, doesn't matter. If it's at your local store, you can then purchase it and pick it up that same day. That's a big plus. I'm just calling shenanigans on the thing. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I think you answered your own question. Like they're not making a whole bunch, and that's why they're quote unquote successful.
I'm sure Best Buy is helping out financially with some of the money, so that way they can be the retailer partner. You know, it's like, hey, we'll buy X amount. Because remember, it's just like all the other consoles and everything else. They have to put the money up front to buy this and then sell it. So
they're not the only ones, by the way. Who else said he has seen an ROG Ally at Walmart, you know?
Like Best Buy. Yeah. This Xbox one.
Well, I don't know about this one, but it's not exclusive to Best Buy. Best Buy is the main one, but it's not exclusive to Best Buy, you know?
You see, so then this goes full circle as causing the problem for the console market. Because let's say this is the new trend, right? Every year, they're seeing that these $1,000 priced handhelds are selling. Right. Let's say that's the case. Oh, look, we can keep doing it. So then Sony and Microsoft, when we see them jacking up their prices of the console, I'm like, how dare they? Why are they doing this? I'm like, people are spending all this money for these handheld pieces.
No, you're right.
So why can't we do it? We're just being competitive. They're now our space. So when we say competitive pricing, we're now adding competitive against the handheld gaming market. And they're at 1,000. We're still under the 1,000 at our 800 or whatever. Yeah, it's a big jump from the 500, but hey, we're competitive.
It's bullshit. But I think it's a different market. Like people who are handheld gamers, you know, they're console guys.
But that's the only thing that makes sense. Well, these prices keep going up for these consoles. These are old consoles.
Yeah,
they should be going down. But why are they going up? Unless it's
they claim tariffs. You know?
No.
I agree with you, but I'm telling you that's what they're saying, you know?
Yeah. And then what happens if the tariff stuff gets let's say they work out a deal, high-five.
That's the problem. They're never going to go down. Nope.
They're never going to go down.
Nope.
We've never seen that. There was one. It was like but it's on the rarity. They don't do it.
No, they don't.
Because they're like, hey, unless people completely flat out stop buying a product that they're forced to do it, they're not going to. You know, we always say the same thing. Vote with your wallet, right? We say it with games. You don't like vote your wallet. Well, this is it. Really vote your wallet. But I think so many people, especially in the gaming industry, have FOMO, right? They have
FOMO. Oh, yes.
Because they follow all these people, whether on YouTube or on Twitter, people talking about the games. They see all the shit's in their face to the point they feel they have to play it. They have to get it. They want to be part of the conversation. And so they won't. And until the day that they cut that shit out, I'm like, do you really need this Elden Ring update? Do you really need all this other bullshit? How many times do you play it? It's not the point. I want to be involved in the conversation. Well, there you go. You're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Part of the problem. Stop buying the bullshit, and then maybe they'll stop doing it.
But yeah, no, you know, just going off everything we're saying, I really am starting to think that the people buying these things are just like the same guys that buy gaming laptops every year. Again, companies would not be making these unless they make enough money, right? So it's those like hardcore guys that keep jumping into this, you know? Cause like, yo, bro, I've reviewed like this one version of this laptop like 3 years or 4 years in a row. Like motherfuckers are still buying these things. It's crazy.
I want to know how much it costs manufacturing wise for
that's,
one of these.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Yeah.
You know, because it has to be on the cheap. Because think about it, it's also a quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do it within every year, that means that you can get all the parts necessary for this device within that time. Because you can't just wait till the end of the year, right? I'm sure they're already working on obtaining all the parts and screens and the shell casing, working on the molds now for the next one.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting prepped, you know, just in case shit happens. You know, you got it all set. So it can't be that expensive.
To your point. Again, because I've reviewed the RG Ally. This thing is literally, like, you know, design-wise, it's an RG Ally with handles. That's all, like, the middle of it. I'm like, oh, it's the same thing. So it's probably not costing them that much. They're probably making a lot of money off of this. They're not selling it at a loss. You know,
it's a question. So with the other RLGs, because yeah. I know they released like two other ones after the original one, right? There was semi-strong and then a super strong version.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like generally you had the ROG Ally and the ROG Ally X, but they've had different SKUs of them as well. Yeah.
Can you still buy the other
ones? Yes, you can.
You can still buy, and are those at a reduced price now, or
they here's the funny thing. The original one is at a slightly reduced price, but it got raised up too, you know? And the regular ROG Ally X cost the same as this one. So unfortunately, they were selling at it, because when they originally dropped, it was like $599. Now they're higher, you know, because of tariffs and shit. But yeah, you could still buy them. You could still buy them, you know?
Because then it brings up that question. It's like, if you have all these, and then if you have the older ones, can you trade them in somewhere?
Oh, I don't know.
The phones and stuff, all these phone dealers will take the shit for you, right? They're like, hey, trade that in, up here, whatever. What do you do? Can you do that?
I have no idea.
With these, we don't know yet, but it's going to get to that point.
If you have to ask Best Buy. I don't know if Best Buy has a trade-in plan.
Do you have a trade-in for all, you know, ROG models that keep coming out? Like, what? How can I get the next one without having to add one stack of tech?
Yeah.
You know, which isn't that bad. I guess if you find somebody to sell it off, because that's the other shit. And this is why Valve hasn't made a Steam Deck 2, because they haven't seen that big jump in the tech to really validate a new version. And don't tell me that it's a bump in the spec, the OS. Okay, that's great. But if you're, let's say, someone that owned the ROG X, that was their bumped up version, right?
Yeah.
If you own that, should they get this?
You don't need
should
to.
They just,
you don't need
you
to.
You don't, right?
No, you don't need to.
So it's not like one of those where, this is newer is better situation. I just bought this for not even a year ago. Yeah, it doesn't have the Xbox logo on and stickers, but you know what? I think I could, you know, print those off and there you go. I got one. Yay.
And like I said, if you're really clever, you actually can get that lighter version of Windows on. You have to go some workarounds, but you can do it.
You can. I'm sure.
You can do it.
I'm sure for a fact they're going to release that out in a while.
Oh, they already. Microsoft already said they're going to make it. They're going to make it available to everybody. Yeah,
of course, because they're not dumb. If they want more people in their ecosystem, especially which is Windows, then they're going to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if not toward the holidays. Probably, you know what? No, next year. Let's say next year, because they still want to sell more of these. But I can see sometime next year and say, hey, guess what? We released the OS build that we did on it, it's out there. Go ahead, load it on any of your other handheld devices, your Steam Deck, whatever it is. Just go boom, boom, boom. Now you're doing a dual boot with this new interface. Enjoy. I could definitely see them doing that.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Steam did it. They were like, hey, you want our Steam OS? Okay, here you go. Go on the website, download the shit, and load it on your device, whatever it is. You could do it.
Yeah.
We're not locking it behind anything.
Yeah, no, Microsoft already said they're doing that, so that's official. You know,
now the only catch is what they charge, because, you know, they like the money.
Yeah, right.
You
know, the money.
You already talked about how that one, remember the Legion was like a few hundred bucks more just because of the Windows. They might not make that free, that download, and do the whole license type of shit, but it'll be available.
Or they could do what they did with the Legion Go S. They'll sell one version with one OS, another one with another OS. Motherfuckers are buying these things, so why not? You know, like you said, you are rewarding these companies by keep buying this stuff.
I still don't know. All right, so I mean, do you know anybody in your personal life? Yeah, not people in the industry, but that buy all these that use, like, hey, look what I bought. I got that. Do you know?
Yeah.
That?
Oh no, no. Everybody has a Steam Deck. That's what they have. You know, yeah,
they have the Steam Deck.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, like, I'm glad you made that caveat outside in my personal life, because obviously in the tech industry, everybody has one of these fucking things.
Everybody's, you know, getting it. Yeah, it's coverage. All
when I stuff. When I go on those planes, bro, everybody has one. You know, when, like, because usually if I go on a trip to like CES, half the plane is filled with other tech people going to Vegas. All these motherfuckers, all planes are shit. You know, so but that's different. That's not the regular person. Although I did see an ally in the wild on a train the other day. You know, like, shit. You know, a regular ally too, because that thing is probably the best selling. Because not only is it the first Windows one that's like big, but it's also the cheapest one right now for Windows. Yes. You know,
and it's still good. Did anybody walk over to him and be like, "Yo, what you do to your Switch?"
Yeah, no, nobody did that. Nobody said that. They left him alone, man. All right, let's move on to another question. Two from Dio here. And he was a little clever this time. Both of his questions are like two questions in one. But this first one here, also about the ROG. With its current price tag, can the ROG Ally be more successful than its competitors? That's the first one. It has to. Here's the thing. Everybody's complaining about the price, and I do agree it's expensive, but it is not more expensive than the other ones. Actually, it's cheaper than the fucking Legion, you know? Like, the highest price ROG Ally is $9.99. The entry-level one is $5.99. That is the exact same price of the regular Ally X. The exact same price. So they haven't raised it there. And the Legion Go 2 is $10.99 to start and $13.49. I think you go to as high as like $14.29 or something like that. So its price, it's the same as everything else. MSI Claw, that's also $9.99, you know, so it's not really changing things in that way, you know. So but obviously the Steam Deck, you can get that shit right now for like $3.19, bro. You know, for the entry level one, because they lowered the price by $80. I think they knew what they were doing. They're like, yo, these consoles are so fucking expensive, drop the price, you know? Switch, it's not a Switch competitor. It's a handheld gaming PC. Switch is doing its own thing.
Nintendo feels like they have no competition. As long as they have Mario and Zelda, they feel like they're good. They're set for decades, and so far they've been riding those two horses, have no issues.
Yeah. And
until they die out, until that generation dies out.
Yeah. And, you know, at least at the moment, because, you know, we got to wait until the FOMO guys get out of the way. The thing is selling well, you know, but I do want people to understand it is not more expensive than other handhelds either. It's either priced exactly the same. And with the case with the Legion Go 2, it is less, you know.
But the Legion Go 2, I feel
like. And that motherfucker sold out too.
But that seems more of like an advancement. One, it's a bigger screen.
Bigger screen. OLED, you know.
OLED screen. It's got the detachable, just like the Switch, but you can use it as like a mouse type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for that PC experience, I feel like it offers
more. It does. You know, and Adam, so, once that lighter version of Windows comes available on that fucking thing, I think the Xbox is in trouble. You know, because you know, the Xbox Ally doesn't have an OLED. But yeah, so that's the first part of that question. The second one is, and this is important. We really need to address this one. He goes, also, will the ROG Xbox Ally have more exclusives than the PS Vita or PSP? No, because there are no exclusives. It's a PC. You know, again, Dio, I don't know how much you've been keeping track of this system. This is not like a PSP or a Vita or a Nintendo. It does not play its own games. It is a miniature PC. It plays PC games. It was never built to have its own library. You
and
know?
Maybe that's the other issue too, with people that go in there and they see the branding and they're like, oh, this is definitely my Xbox handheld on the go.
Yeah.
And then when they get home and they realize, oh, wait a minute, it is not that. And it's not going to offer things. It's not separate.
I don't like the advertising for this thing, man. I really don't.
So that's what I'm saying. It's just like when a movie goes in, right? It's a big movie. And it's like, oh, open week is great. All right. Let's talk about it next week. Oh, it fell off. I could see that happening here. But then again, they could always say, we sold out. Of course it fell off. We sold out first week. So we'll see. But I think the advertising and the way they kept promoting it as like, this is your Xbox on the go. And it's really not. Now, this is a question before I forget.
Yeah.
What's the connectivity time for the internet? Do you need to always be online, or what's that? How's that work?
It depends on the game. You know how it is, like on your console games, like even a single player game may need to be online to work. So it depends on the game, you know?
So it's not like within the console that's determining that. Because that's the thing with the Steam Deck. The Steam Deck doesn't matter. It will still keep you on. It'll lock it in there. And the games that say, you have to be always online. No, if you put on offline, the Steam Deck realizes it. And it's like, nope, you're good. Don't worry about that. Keep playing.
Yeah, no, it depends on the game. Just like a console game, it depends. But if you have the game downloaded and it doesn't require you to be online, you could play it. That's not a problem, you know? Like if you're playing Street Fighter, that doesn't need to be online. Even though we'll ask you, hey, you're offline, you know, do you want to connect? By the way, real quick, Reggie goes, would you say if a handheld doesn't have an OLED, it's dead? No, the Switch 2 is doing well. The Steam Deck is doing well. The fucking original Ally is doing well. OLED is, and here's the thing about OLED, only a handheld.
I have an OLED.
Let's count them, because we could actually count how many of these have an OLED screen. Steam Deck has an OLED. The original Switch has an OLED, and the Legion Go has an OLED. That's it. So that lets you know you do not need an OLED to be successful, you know?
Well, I think the casuals don't know the difference.
Yeah.
They don't know what the hell. They're like, all right, well, it's
I didn't think screen. About that. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? What's the OLED? What is that, a brand?
Yeah.
OLED brand? Toshiba? What the hell? What? They probably don't know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, OLED. Yeah, that's right. If you go back, thank you for reminding me, Assertion of Force. What was the first handheld? Manny, like, do you have it? What was the first handheld to have an OLED? Let's go. The Vita, baby.
Yeah, Vita. Boy.
Did not sell. And that had a nice screen.
Yeah, there you go. I still think that's the perfect form factor for a handheld. You actually put that in your pocket, you know? Like, these ones are so fucking huge. You can't do shit. You know,
I put it in your man purse.
There you go.
That's what I have.
Yo, man, it still works. There you go.
Yeah, I have it on my table.
Nice. Shit,
the last time I used it was in 2016.
Damn.
In New York, and I was playing. This is when I was diehard into the Division and getting all the masks. Remember, to collect the masks, and it was all these global events. And I was like, shit, I got to get these masks. I'm going to be in New York. So I did the whole remote play.
Yeah.
And I left my PlayStation on. I went to New York. I had connected my family's Wi-Fi. And then at night, I just booted and logged in, and I was doing all my farming so that way I could get my masks.
That's what's up.
It was used. It was good for it. It worked. It did it.
Yeah. 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 No, we know that's the reason the Vita died. The fucking proprietary memory cards killed that system, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. So expensive. What, $100 for 64 gigs? Yeah,
ridiculous. Assyrian Air Force wants to know if you played on a rooftop, Adam.
On a rooftop? Nope, I did not. I should do that one day. I got to find a rooftop and then go up there. I'm like, look what I played on the rooftop. Shit.
That's crazy.
You go to rooftop parties, you're not playing any video.
You're not playing, but Nintendo seems to think you are, you know?
They don't know how things are in America. What are they?
Yeah. All right, another question from Dio, which is also two questions in one. If the Xbox app is successful, will we ever see a similar PlayStation and Nintendo app for mobile devices and smart TVs? And would that spell the end of dedicated gaming hardware? No. Here's the thing. Nintendo's absolutely not doing that. No fucking way. You know? PlayStation already did. Manny, didn't you say there was a TV with that app on it?
Bravio. Bravio.
Yeah. So
they already did this with their Bravia line of televisions. You could use PS Now on there, and you could connect your PlayStation controller to the television.
Yeah, Manny, would you call that a toe dip?
Total toe dip right there. They were already. Here's the thing. Like I'm gonna say this. Microsoft as they advanced as they like to think they are. Half the time, they're just literally appropriating things that everybody else has done.
Yep.
The only reason why they offer free games is because PlayStation started doing the stuff with the PlayStation Plus, because they had to make their thing more attractive, because they originally on PlayStation 3 weren't doing, you know, when you got the, if you ever look, go back and look at the PlayStation Plus offerings, it was bullshit. when they started offering free games on there, that and starting attract, because they needed to attract people away from using their free service. And obviously, you know, the Xbox thing. So then once they started doing that, then those guys started it.
Gold, always, we always had free games, and we get to keep those gold games, games with gold. That was always before Game Pass. We had games.
But I mean, it wasn't like, the thing is, it's like they weren't giving you, they were giving you like a cheesy game. They weren't giving you like a big old game.
It depends. I mean, I remember I got a lot of the Assassin's Creed games and things like that. I mean, at the time they were, you know, it was a case by case. It wasn't every month, you know, but every once in a while you got something like, oh, wow. It's part of it, and that's cool.
But I think once that PlayStation started playing the game, that's when Xbox really started. Because again, they were the ones that were like, oh man, you know, we're the only guys out there. You know, we can just do this. I think once that they started to play, really play, that's when they started to do it. I think with this, you know, again with the. But with the whole, you know, a connectivity with televisions and all those other things. But I think that's what Microsoft really wanted to do in general. I think they just wanted to keep it software, even back to old school days.
I mean, they've said that they want the 2 billion people on mobile devices. They've said that.
Everybody wants that. Yeah. Remember, Nintendo was making all the Mario Kart World and all that other bullshit. And
they got rid of that real quick.
They got rid of that. Yeah, it wasn't working. You know, but what was the name of that company that was doing the streaming that PlayStation bought? Remember?
Was it OnLive?
No, OnLive was another one that was already out.
I know. I'm forgetting the name, but yes, there was another one.
It had some other name, but they bought that.
Assert Force, you probably know this. What was the company? Gaikai. Thank you. Gaikai.
There you go. Gaikai. Yeah. Yep. See, they bought that, and that's when they were like, all right, we're going to use this, and we're going to start doing cloud-based gaming.
Yeah. Yeah. We've said this before. I don't think we'll ever get to a time, or actually, let me walk that back. I don't think anytime soon we're not going to see consoles go away within like maybe the next 15 years. There will always be some kind of dedicated thing where you could play your games on, right? But I do think streaming, even though, you know, we're old guys, we don't like the thought of that. I think if you're not really a gamer that came from that legacy, you won't give a fuck. You know, like, oh, there's games on my TV, I'll play those. There could be a time where that may happen, but I think you'll always have some kind of dedicated machine. You know, because, again, like going back to the handhelds, motherfuckers will pay a premium for stuff. You know, so they're never going to get rid of that. Even if we get to a point where maybe streaming becomes more dominant, you know. But I haven't seen evidence of that yet. We've seen, obviously, digital does better than hard, you know, like physical games. That's happened. But streaming, not yet. I haven't seen that, you know. So it may be a while. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. Because you motherfuckers, when you talk about streaming, they get up in arms, boy. Relax. They're not coming for your consoles. You're good, you know. All right. And the last question of the night from Alpha Chuck. What is one aspect of gaming that is dead that you wish would make a successful return? Mine is strategy guides. I know they are useless in this age of the internet in your pocket, but I love them. So yeah, what's one thing that gaming used to have and you want to return?
We have it. We have too much now. Because I would have said it's like well,
yeah,
everything is here.
Not really. The thing is, like,
maybe more cash co-op.
Go ahead, Brett. Yeah, there you go. That's something. And Brett, you know what's funny about that? I had a coworker who's not really a big gamer because, you know, there's different divisions within my office, and he was asking me, what are some good co-op games? My answer was basically like,
we talk about
Split Fiction is like the only one, you know. No, he's talking about couch co-op, you know, like that mid, you know, split the screen down the middle. You know, shit like that. That doesn't exist anymore, really.
What do you mean? We got Borderlands. Borderlands still does it. Ford still does it.
But Adam, you're missing my point. That's not as those are the rare exceptions. Brett's been complaining about this shit for years, you know? And he's right.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, like I'm just going to call it as it is, man. Like,
say it.
There aren't that many girlfriend games, right? Like, if you're trying to get your girl to, like, play a game with you or something like that, there's, like, 5 games that you can choose from.
Never did that. Never bothered. I didn't even want to share that.
But Brett is right. It's like couch co-op. There are some, obviously, but it's very rare. Whereas it used to be common before, you know? The answer I was going to give, and I can't say it's really gone. It's just taken on a different form. arcades, right? Arcades were the shit. But I'd still kind of go to them. They're just called barcades now, you know? But yeah, and arcades were the shit. That was like kind of the lifeblood of gaming, but you know, they're kind of pointless now, to be honest. But
for home stuff, like one thing. Oh, I think if one thing that's going to have this is, damn, why didn't I think when we didn't have microtransactions, where if you bought a game, you actually had everything in the box, you know, and if there was updates, it was updates to improve the game, fix glitches, whatever. It wasn't trying to sell you some shit. It was like, hey, you bought it, you own it, it's yours. Everything's there.
So that's the aspect that you want to return a full game. In the box.
Full game in the box. None of this. The worst. And we're seeing this with WWE 2K25. They're not the first. I think the first to actually do something dumb like this was actually Borderlands. Borderlands 2. You have a season pass. Okay, great. All this stuff coming. Then they give you another season pass. Okay, I get it. Wait, you're coming in with DLC that's not part of either season pass. That's bull. If you get a season pass, everything should be included. WWE 2K25 has a season pass. All this stuff included, and then all of a sudden drop another DLC, not part of the damn season pass. You got to pay extra for this shit, for John Cena, for Brock and stuff. Why? Yeah. Why are you doing this? Then what's the damn point if it's season pass if it's not covering the season? You're breaking the naming then if you're doing this. And you just go, oh, accept this. You didn't say that when you released the season pass. You didn't say, oh, by the way, we're going to release some shit after the fact that's not covered here. That's a scam. That's bull.
Yeah. All right, Rich, what about you? What's one aspect of gaming that you wish would return?
Well, Adam said something that triggered me, so I want to respond to that. I want to see a collector's edition that actually comes with the game. Because, you know, a lot of companies will release a collector's edition with swag, no game. I don't understand that trend, so that needs to go away.
Right? Too hard to put the damn code in? You know, put a little card. You can't do that. Oh, it's gonna hurt the banks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Manny, you got one? If not, I have an answer for you.
What do you think my answer is?
I don't know if this is your answer, but it is appropriate for Manny. Full color instruction manuals, like we used to get.
Yeah, that would be nice. If he I do miss. The fact, like, you used to be able to, I mean, again, I still buy physical games, so I sort of miss the process of you know, you go to a store and you open up the game and you get to, you know, look at it, you know, again, like, I still have a little bit of a travel to get over, you know, to any place that I can buy a game, so. It's a nice little prelude to like read how you play the game or if there's any sort of like, you know, story or plot in there to sort of read about. I still sort of dig those, and there's still, you know, obviously limited run games, and you know, a lot of the other, you know, studios that do those sorts of those titles these days, you know, like those sort of what do you call them, boutique releases now, they still give you those things. But yeah, I do wish those would come back. It seems like, especially since now we're paying so much money for a goddamn game, we're just, you know, at least give us a little bit more. Some of them are pretty cool about it though. Like if you bought like the day one edition, you know, what was that game? Slitterhead. The only version of Slitterhead that you can buy at you know, on Amazon is the day one edition that comes with a CD and it comes with a map. It comes with all this additional shit, and it's the normal price.
That's pretty cool.
You know, it's like that 70. That's that sort of $70, $60 price range. So some of them have been doing that where their releases, they'll just be like, all right, we're just putting a bunch of stuff in. We know you're going to be, you know, doing this, and we're going to give you
some. Nice. Jeffrey says mysteries like the secrets and early Mortal Kombat. Yeah. You don't get those because, you know, the internet, it ruins everything.
Everybody throws it all over the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause remember, you know, it's like, yo, is Shenlong real? Is he in this fucking game? We don't get stuff like that anymore. I know the recent Mortal Kombat did have like a new character. That was an actual legit secret. Floyd, I believe his name was. The Pink Ninja. So you see the reference there, Pink Floyd, you know. So some good stuff there. But yeah, secrets would be nice, but internet ruins all that. It's the reason why. Remember back in the day, you would have an argument with a friend about some random fact, and you would just argue all fucking night? That doesn't happen anymore, because now you just pull out your phone, you know? Like, oh, well, no, I mean, the movie actually came out in 1968, not 1969, you know?
Well, I mean, same thing with talking about somebody who said he was a know-it-all. It's like, yeah, I beat that game. Yeah, yeah. I got past it.
Now or we got give, me a, like, give me a second. Let me check your trophies
exactly.
real quick.
Exactly. Let me see. Bitch, you made it past the first part. You didn't even go to chapter two. Busted. You know what I mean? Conversation to end. You know, no more arguments. But what I do miss, and what we used to have, and we still do, the Castlevania collection, the collection,
yeah.
They included the manuals.
They do,
on
yeah.
the digital version. Why not do that, folks?
I agree.
Just every game have a little, it says manual, and you click there, and you just see a nice little, you know, it's like, oh, wow, and you can zoom in. And do
especially
that.
For those old collections, you need those instruction manuals because they give you, like Manny said, they give you the setup. Here's the story. Here's the controls. Here's some tips. You know, when you just play these old games just willy-nilly, you're like, wait, what the fuck's going on here? Especially if you've never played them before, you know?
Yeah.
But you used to get that with the instruction manuals, you know? Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, you buy them, you're taking a bus home to train home and shit, looking through the manual, you know? You don't get that anymore. It's crazy. All right, man. So that's going to do it for us. Another one in the books. So let's start pimping some stuff. Adam, what's going on at the TV terminal?
A lot of TV talk. No surprises in the title. Here we go. Covering Tulsa King Stallone, you know, doing his thing. That is great. World 5, only 6 episodes a season. So that's a fun watch. So if you haven't kept up to it, you can check us out. We break that down. Have a good time talking about Stallone. Talking all crazy. Think he's about to be 80 years old. Doesn't look a day over 77. he looks fantastic. So we're covering that. I just finished covering episode Horses. That's also episode 5. That's on Wednesday. Day. So if you're interested in Horses, we're covering that. We got a few other ones coming later on in the pipeline. And then on Monday, that's a surprise. I can't say what's in because there is a coverage. I have a coverage for Gen V. It's the finale of season 2, right? But we have somebody special that's going to join us with that one. So you'll have to tune in to find out who that is that jumps. Going to be crazy.
That's cool.
Blow your mind.
I'm excited. By the way, I just saw this article pop up on Twitter from Game Rant. I spent over $1,000 on the ROG Xbox Ally X handheld, and so far I am seriously regretting my purchase.
Not surprised.
Oh, man. All right, Rich was coming up on the Coalition this week.
Once again, shout out to Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. Definitely continue to check out their coverage of all the shows that he mentioned. As for what else is happening at the Coalition, I will be doing a couple of reviews this upcoming week. One review in particular we may be talking about on the next Throwdown, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, by the way, Rich, I actually looked at the kind of the embargo notes for that. We actually can't tell people we are going to review it, so we can say it. You will be getting a full review of Ninja Gaiden 4 for me and Rich on the Thursday show, so stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for that for sure. And yeah, there's a couple other things going on behind the scenes, but definitely stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming. There's a couple things coming.
This is it. It's a busy time. Call of Duty, the game killer right there. Popeye's going to shoot all of those bitches in the face, drop them all down. Everybody, this is going to be a Call of Duty killer. This is going to be, no, it's not. Bend the knee, bitches. Bend the knee.
Oh.
Although, Adam, even you have to admit, Battlefield selling 7 million copies in 3 days is pretty impressive.
That's chump change.
The franchise has never done that before. You know?
Well, I'm good. They need competition. Competition is good. So I'm glad. I hope it does work. I'm just excited for the campaign co-op for the Black Ops. That's a big thing. We just said it, right? Oh, Caps co-op, all this up. Here we go. Well, yeah. We're getting it in the Call of Duty franchise, and I love that. And I look forward to playing and hearing Rich laugh at all the crazy chaos. I'm like, yo, this card just flipped over. You know, see, that's what I want to hear.
Whoa! When shit blows up, oh, man.
Exactly.
All right. Manny, what you got?
Well, out on the streets currently is Street Sharks number 1. So if y'all want to get some Street Sharks, you got it covered by Kari Randolph and myself. That's out on the streets. What is the next one? Oh, yes. Power Range. We don't need to talk about Power Rangers now, the cover I drew already, because it's already been months off. But we do have another cover with TMNT Journeys number 2, which is out right now. Special cover by Kari and myself. OG TMNT 2003 team doing another one for you. I kind of joked on my social medias that it seems like Kari and I are slowly but surely completing your TMNT 2003 collections with our covers. So far, we've drawn the turtle. So far, Kari and I have done the Turtles cover. I did a full on villains cover from our season. We got Casey Jones. All we need is April and a Splinter cover, and the mission's complete. Other thing to talk about coming out in the future is the Battle Nexus crossover, where there's literally every single era of Ninja Turtles going on at it on some big, massive scale thing. So me and Kari and myself did a cover of the 2003 Turtles versus the 2012 cover, which is the half and half cover. So it's half us and it's half one of the designers and the creators of the 2012 show with the Turtles all fighting up. So a lot of Turtles, a lot of nostalgia, fun stuff, all coming up real soon or already out of the streets.
All right, good stuff. All right, man, let's wrap it up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, hit the like button, all that good stuff. Make sure you are subscribed because some of you guys may have been following us for years, didn't realize you're subbed, you know? Also, join the Discord and shout out to all the new people that we've been seeing join lately. Some of you are even talking, which is cool. Some guys just show up and they just kind of lurk or whatever, but, you know, it's always good to have more heads in there. Kuel, surprisingly enough, is actually one of the recent additions, even though he's been listening to Throwdown forever, you know, since the early days, you know, Fan Zone and all that. And obviously, you know, we're on your favorite podcast app, so search for us, Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. So links to everything else down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Adam Vail.
Yep, have a good week, everybody. Shoot, I realize today's Sunday, right?
Yes, it is.
We did the finale, right, of The Walking Dead. Daryl Dixon.
That's
also out from the Coalition. So check that out if you haven't watched it. If you have, jump in.
Cool. Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Peace.
Laters.